Good morning. I want to welcome you all here again to First Baptist Church Texaco, and I'd invite all of you to open your Bibles with me to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, and as we began last week looking at the test of wisdom, kind of just introduction last week at verse 13, but this morning, Lord willing, we'll look at verses 14 through 16 and look at the earthly wisdom. And really, we've titled this Foolish Wisdom, for it's not truly wisdom. Find ourselves, begin reading this morning before opening in prayer. Verses, I'm going to read verses 13 through 18 because it is one thought. It says, "Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior, his deeds, and the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." Let's open in prayer. Father, we come before you at this time where we set aside to look at your word. Father, we confess that there's nothing that we can do apart from your work of your Spirit, apart from Christ, that can glorify you. Father, I pray for this time this morning would be glorifying, that it would be edifying to this body which you've blessed us with. Father, we thank you for all the good things that you've given us. We know you've given us everything for life and godliness. Father, even with a tough passage like this that can be very convicting, Father, it can show us and magnify the grace that you've given us and taken us out of the old life which we were born into. Father, we thank you, and we pray this in your Son's name. Amen. So last week, as we began looking at verse 13, which really is an introduction to wisdom, and James starts out with opposing or pushing to our wills, who among you is wise and understanding? And we posed this question last week to ask ourselves, am I wise? Do I understand? The wisdom you possess indicates who you are spiritually, and that's the test that James puts us through. And we know that he's went from one test to the other, either to encourage the believers and to show them to continue to grow, or to show the ones who are not in Christ, you need to be in Christ. You need to repent of your sins and put your faith in Christ. So he puts forth another test, and the test of wisdom. And we know he's writing this to Jewish believers, and no doubt the majority of them were Christians because he addresses them as brethren many times. But there was no doubt there was some who were on the wide road who thought they were saved, but yet they weren't. And so he calls us all for examination. In fact, the wisdom you possess will show in your actions. Remember James in chapter 2, verse 18. He says, "I'll prove to you my faith by my works. I'll show you my faith is genuine by my works." And it's the same with wisdom. I'll show you that I'm filled with divine wisdom by my actions. You cannot separate wisdom and actions, whether it's an earthly foolish wisdom which results in disobedience and sinful behavior, or divine wisdom which results in obedience to Christ. But this wisdom does not mean just knowledge or information. That's what the Greeks thought, did they not? The more knowledge you filled your mind with, the better off you were. But the Jews, if you notice, he doesn't elaborate on this wisdom here because he's writing to Jewish believers who would have read this first. And in the Old Testament, last week we looked at a number of passages that showed us what wisdom was. The Jews would have had an understanding because they always affiliated wisdom with obedience, a lifestyle. But so it doesn't mean just a knowledge or information, but what it does mean is the living out of that knowledge. Wisdom is not just knowledge, but it's living out that knowledge. A spirit-given, spirit-led wisdom that transforms lives. Our thoughts, our actions, our desires, everything about our new life is centered around spirit-led wisdom from God. It indicates who you truly are, whatever drives you, whatever wisdom you possess. In fact, in our worship study last week, there was a quote saying, "God transforms sinners into worshipers." That is so true. And he does that through divine wisdom, through the Spirit that indwells our lives. Your lifestyle will resemble either a Christ-likeness or worshipness. There's no in between. There's no fence riding. There's no double-minded. You're either of the world or you're in Christ. So we get to our text this morning, just to recap, just a second. What is wisdom? We learned that it was fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's a reverential trust, love, respect, commitment to the Lord. In fact, you could call Christians God-fearers. They fear the Lord. Secondly, they seek the Lord. And thirdly, what is wisdom? They have a hatred for sin. A wise man hates the sin that remains in his life. And so true wisdom is to obey and glorify God. At the second part of verse 13, we looked at a few things that are proofs of wisdom. Number one, you have to understand the truth. You've got to be saturated with the Word of God. Second is obedience. And we read here in verse 13, let him show by his good behavior and his deeds. Good behavior is your conduct of your life. Deeds are your specific deeds in your life. And lastly, he tells us in gentleness of wisdom. A wise man is gentle, he's humble, and he fully trusts in God. Every part of a life is controlled by godly wisdom for the believer. Every single part. Even though our soul is redeemed, our body is not, it's still controlled. Not perfectly, but it's still in the direction of pursuing Christ-likeness. Though we don't do it as we should, and that's called sanctification, but when we are saved through Christ, we are given divine wisdom. And the more we live our lives, the more we are sanctified, the more we grow, the more we will manifest this wisdom in our lives. But we can't do it to its fullest degree. But our text this morning, we see a little more of the worldly wisdom. Lord willing, next week we'll look at verses 17 and 18, which is wisdom from above. But this morning, we come to a passage that's very convicting. It speaks of the earthly wisdom which is found only here on earth. It is found and it is in the lives of unbelievers. But when you come to texts like this, guys, it should really encourage us. It should magnify the grace of God to show us this is once what we were. And by his grace, he's called us out of it. It reminds us of God's grace. But we begin here in verse 14 with titled, A Foolish Wisdom. In fact, in James 1, he speaks of not only to be a hearer of the word, but a doer. One who is only a hearer of the word is foolish. But the one in Christ who has divine wisdom is also a doer. In our scripture reading this morning, we read about a wise man. He built his house on the rock. The foolish man built it upon the sand. So under foolish wisdom, we're going to look at 3 points this morning, beginning of verse 14 with the pride of foolish wisdom. He begins, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, one who is filled with this earthly foolish wisdom is prideful. They have no love for God, no hatred for sin, no obedience, and they fear God not. They seek only for themselves and what satisfies them. Before we get to bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, let's look at the heart. Guys, that is the center of a person. It's not speaking of the physical heart that pumps blood, but the inner person. And he says here that in the heart is where this is found. Look at, turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. And he puts forth this test as you're turning there. And he says, from your heart comes these things. And really, a believer has a new heart, so therefore new things are going to come. But ones who do not possess this new heart, ones who are unsaved, they are filled with this earthly foolish wisdom. In Jeremiah 17, beginning of verse 9, it gives us a clear picture of what the heart is. The heart is more deceitful than all else, and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? You ever heard that term, follow your heart? That's not a good statement. Your heart is sick, and it is desperately ill. It seeks nothing but self-pride and self-seeking. Do not follow your heart. In fact, in chapter 16, verse 12 of Jeremiah, he says, you too, he's speaking to Judah and how they've gone astray. In verse 12, it says, "You too have done evil, even more than your forefathers. For behold, you are each one walking according to the stubbornness of your own evil heart without listening to me." Chapter 11, verse 8. It says, "Yet they do not obey or incline their ear, but walk each one in the stubbornness of his own evil heart. Therefore I brought on them all the words of this covenant which I commanded them to do, but they did not. They followed their heart and they were greatly deceived." Your heart is sick, it's wicked. But for believers, a new heart possesses a new heart, a new life. 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that we are a new creation. Ephesians 2 says we're born again. Born again means born from above. God has invaded your heart with a new heart. And so there's a vast difference. Again, there's no fence riding. Either you're filled with worldly wisdom, which follows its heart, or you're filled with a new heart, which follows Christ. You see the division here. And that's the test James is putting us through. This morning, we're going to focus on the negative, on the earthly wisdom, but the positive comes next week, Lord willing. But your earthly wisdom has filled your heart. He gives us two things: bitter jealousy, back in James, and selfish ambition. He says, if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart. Bitter means cruel, harsh. Jealousy speaks of a fiery envy, seeking what you don't have and getting it, pursuing it. It's self-centeredness, which leads to anger towards others. It's a mindset of the world revolves around me, and if anyone tries to invade it, they're my enemy. We see that play out every day in our world. And they do this, guys. No matter what destruction it brings, no matter what the cost, they seek their own self. What gratifies them. What they can get out of it. Guys, and it's a healthy reminder to remember this is what we once were as Christians. We can never become prideful as a Christian thinking we're above this. Because as we'll look in a second, David fell into this. But the one who habitually is following the heart of earthly wisdom has bitter jealousy. But he adds another one, selfish ambition. This means to scheme. Scheming after others to get what you want, what you can get out of it. It's achieving a goal no matter what it does to others, no matter what the cost at others' expense. Remember David with his sin with Bathsheba, his lustful heart lusted after her. And what did it lead to? Adultery. Then he tried to cover it up. At the cost of her own husband, he sent him to the front lines to be killed. David desired something that was evil, and it cost him great things, great consequences, even in his own life, but at the cost of another family murdering her husband. No matter the cost, that is self-ambition. But we see that in Psalm 51, David repenting and praying his heart out for forgiveness. Guys, believers are not above failing in this. We do. But we have the response, like David, a repentive heart. One who is filled with worldly wisdom does not. It's achieving whatever makes you happy, no matter what you have to do to others to achieve it. That's selfish ambition. Turn with me to 1 John. 1 John. I love how similar 1 John and James are. They're to the point and they're tests. They're trying to get our attention, to pierce our wills. We see in 1 John chapter 3. We see kind of the opposite here in verse 11. "For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." The one with evilness in his heart, the one that is unregenerate, the one who is filled with foolish earthly wisdom is selfish and prideful and has self-seeking ambition. But what does the Christian have? To love one another. He gives us an illustration here of Cain, not as Cain, who was of the evil one and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. Cain had an agenda. And what did he go to get it done? He killed his brother. Verse 13, "Do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Verse 16, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Because most of us in this room probably will never come to a point of giving our life for somebody else. We may, because this speaks even deeper than that. This speaks to every single day, putting our needs below others' needs, putting them first, dying to self so others may be helped. That's the complete opposite of what James just described with being jealous and self-prideful. Is it not? It's completely different. This is the believer. They put others' needs before their own, even if it costs them. And the one who is in the world, the one who is unregenerate, the one who fails this test that James puts us through, does everything for himself. They're vastly different. One has divine wisdom, the one in 1 John that's described. One has earthly foolish wisdom. In fact, the absence of divine wisdom is the absence of a relationship with God. Without divine wisdom, you have no relationship with God. Back in James, he tells us, if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, he adds, do not be arrogant. He is saying, guys, if you live like this, if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, and you claim you're from God, stop it. He said, stop. You cannot have divine wisdom and habitually live like this. No doubt that some of these readers for the first time, some of them were not believers. He's piercing their will. He's getting their attention. If you claim you're from God and yet you are filled with this selfish pride, you are not from God. You do not have divine wisdom. Now again, there's a difference between one who struggles, one who fails, and one who continually lives in this. He commands us, do not be arrogant. Stop claiming something you don't have. Because in Matthew 7, this passage is on my mind a lot. Lord, Lord, did we not do all these things in your name? Did we not cast out demons? Did we not prophesy? He says, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of lawlessness. Because these guys were boastful in what they've done for Christ. And when they stand on that last day, they will be told the most harsh, the most judgment words, the scariest words in a righteous way, depart from me. I never knew you. They claim to be something they weren't. And so James tells us, do not be arrogant. If this is you, stop it. He's calling them, he's exhorting them to repent, to recognize I'm not from God. My heart is filled with this filthiness. He tells them, do not be arrogant. Stop living that way. Stop claiming you're from God if you live that way. And he adds, and so lie against the truth. If you live like this with selfish ambition, bitter jealousy in your heart, and you claim from you are from God, you are a liar. You're a liar. Do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This truth here is God's word. It's the gospel. They're claiming to have this true gospel. Guys, the gospel is what has the power to save. The gospel is what saves sinners. And they're claiming they're saved from this gospel. And yet, there's no change in their life. They're lying against the truth. They're lying against the gospel. They're blaspheming the truth they claim to have. They're living a lie. They're hypocrites, guys. And we all used to be there. We all used to be on that side. And by God's grace, he has called us out of that into repentance. Remember James 3:13? Let him show. Are you wise? You will show it. Are you filled with earthly wisdom? That's what will show. If you're filled with divine wisdom from God, that's what will show. You can't have both. You can't claim this and live like this. We're saying, stop it. You're arrogant and you're a liar. In fact, look at Romans 1 with me real quickly. Romans chapter 1 speaks of unbelief and the consequences, God's holy, righteous judgment on unbelief. Really, verses 18 through 21, he speaks of none have excuses. God has revealed. And at the end of verse 21, he says that their foolish heart was darkened. Verse 22 says, professing to be wise, they became fools. They professed to have this great wisdom from earth, right? This great abounding knowledge. And they became fools. Goes on to say they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verses 22 through 25 go on that speak, they went from they exchanged the natural for the unnatural. It speaks of homosexuality. Guys, the day we live in is transgenderism. All this filth that goes on, God gave them over. Guys, in this earthly wisdom, they were wise. Some of the brightest minds this earth can put forth. In the sight of God, they're fools. In fact, it comes to a point where God hands them over to that knowledge, to that lust. And that's judgment now. That's judgment now. Because though they are headed for an eternal judgment, that is judgment now. They profess to be wise. God, we see that. Some of the brightest minds of our day, they're fools in the sight of God. Their knowledge that they build up, God, and most of it's filth. What they call healthcare and abortion. What they call science with transgenderism. Some of the great minds of our times, they're fools. They've been handed over. They've been handed over. But that's judgment. That's the world we live in. That's why it's so bad. That's why it's so chaotic. Because they're so filled with this earthly knowledge and wisdom. Guys, remember, it always is affiliated with works. So if they fill their minds with this, what's going to happen? It's going to overflow into the works, to their lifestyles, their thoughts, their actions, their desires. So in James, he's calling us to examine our life. What is my desire? What drives me? What wisdom do I have? Is it led by man with selfish pride, or is it led by God in obedience? He builds right upon verse 13. Who among you is wise and understanding? For if your heart is filled with bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, you're arrogant and you're a liar. As Romans said, that God is judging you right now. So we've seen that this foolish wisdom, this wisdom from earth, is number one, it's prideful. Secondly, in verse 15, we see the character or the source of foolish wisdom. It says this wisdom is not that which comes down from above. The wisdom it speaks of here is earthly. It's selfish. It's prideful. So this wisdom is not. That is a present indicative verb, which means it's a fact. It's not from God. This is that which comes down from above. God is the one who gives good and grace from above. This earthly wisdom is not that. It's not from God. In fact, James 1:5 says that God is the source of divine wisdom. James 1:13 says that no evil thing comes from God. Therefore, if this wisdom is evil, it's not from God. It does not come from above. It is earthly, as we'll get over here in a second. He tells us three things in its character. It's earthly, natural, and demonic in verse 15. One commentator says that three enemies the believers have, the world, the flesh, and Satan. You see the connection there? What does he say this wisdom is from? Earthly, the world, natural, the flesh, and demonic, Satan. That's the three enemies, and that's exactly where this wisdom comes from. Let's break this down. Earthly means it's limited in every aspect. From our time, our space, its nature, it's earthly. It's not divine. It arises from earth, it's attached to earth, and it will be destroyed with the earth. The earth is fallen. Therefore, this wisdom that comes from the earth is what? Fallen. Guys, this is what works in unredeemed humanity. Having this life only in view. How many times are they trying to change all these things to fix worldly problems when the scripture is clear? You're not. Their view is only in this life. They have no concern for the afterlife. How many people live like this? Their thoughts, their wisdom, their knowledge, their schooling, everything is bound to the earth. It's earthly. Secondly, it's natural. It means fleshly or sensual. Glorifies man and appeases to his desires. It gratifies the desires of the flesh. It's bound to sin. When Jesus encounters Nicodemus in John chapter 3, he tells him that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the spirit is spirit. This earthly knowledge is born in the flesh. It has no spiritual attributes. It cannot go into the spiritual side. It takes an act of God invading your life. That which is of the flesh is only of the flesh. Natural man is bound to the natural corrupted world. All knowledge, philosophy, psychology, all come from human sinful perspective. In fact, psychology in itself is trying to fix spiritual problems with worldly ones, with worldly solutions. It's natural. It's fleshly. This knowledge is sinful. It's of the earth. And thirdly, he takes a step further. It's demonic. Because this is the only time this word is used here as an adjective in the New Testament. Though it is earthly, though it is natural from the earth, it's led by Satan. Ephesians 2 tells us that. He tells us, you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, the natural earthly world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's Satan. Of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. It's demonic, guys. Just like the tongue we went over a few weeks ago can be a tool for Satan. Satan is using earthly foolish wisdom as his way to corrupt people. In fact, in Genesis 3, what do we see? Satan tells Eve what? You will not surely die. Your eyes will be opened when you eat of this tree. And you will be like God, knowing good and evil. What did he promise Eve? Wisdom. He promised her wisdom. But it was not from above. We know the ending to that story. Guys, this is the wisdom that fills our lives. Look at the school systems. Look what's going on with the children. Satan is using every ounce of his wisdom that is demonic, earthly, and sinful to penetrate kids' lives, the family function that God gave, the government, everything. And it is led by Satan. It doesn't take a genius to figure this out, that Satan is running this wisdom. And it always leads to sin. It always leads to sin. Now, by God's grace, he is still restraining the world for how bad it really could be. Guys, and he does it through believers and his spirit. He restrains the evil world, okay, to what it, as bad as it is, he restrains it to a point. Now, guys, what happens when you take all of us out? And this isn't a prideful issue, but one day, Christ is coming for his church. We'll be gone. What's going to happen? There will be no restraint. Hell will be literally let loose, and the judgment of God is coming upon this earthly wisdom. Guys, a day is coming. But it should not surprise us how evil the world is. It should not surprise us. Look who's running. Now, guys, God is sovereign. God is sovereign. He uses the good, the bad, and the ugly for the good of those who love him, Romans 8 tells us. But this earthly wisdom is driven by Satan. Those who are of this wisdom are earthly, they're sinful, and they're an agent, a tool for Satan. Because every day men try to find answers to the world and its problems. And they always fail. Because it's nothing but foolish earthly wisdom. It is not from God. So we see that foolish wisdom is prideful. We see that it's earthly, it's sinful or natural, and it's demonic. Well, thirdly, we see the outcome of foolish wisdom. Verse 16 says, "For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist," okay, he's saying in the hearts of those that this exists in a society which this exists in, there is disorder and every evil thing. Because the ultimate outcome is eternal judgment. We read that in Romans 1. The ultimate outcome is eternal judgment. But even here on earth, there are consequences. There are judgments here. So it says, "For where jealousy and selfish ambition are," this is the same word to use in verse 14, "where those exist in the hearts of those who are not in Christ, where those exist continually, there is disorder." Disorder means chaos, confusion, unstable. Guys, everywhere we look today, it is chaotic. It seems like the world is flipped upside down. Again, the family is ripped apart. There's wars and rumors of wars. Guys, there's people and children who are contemplating whether they're a boy or a girl. See how chaotic that is? That's not from God. God is orderly. God is in unity, and it is not from Him. This is earthly, it's natural, and it's demonic, and it leads to disorder. But for believers, this is good news. Why? The time is ramping up. It's getting worse and worse and worse, which indicates what's coming. The return of Christ. We're getting closer. But it's going to get worse, guys. The disorder that fills this earth is crazy. Now, by God's grace and His sovereignty, Romans 8 tells us, again, He uses everything. He causes all things to work together. He doesn't cause the sin, but He allows it. He uses it for good. The greatest example of that is Christ, right? On the cross. He used the sinful men to put Christ on a cross, and from that, He used it as the greatest day in history to redeem sinful man. He used all the bad guys. As chaotic as this world is, God is still on His throne. He's still in control. But this earthly chaos and disorder is led by Satan. And it is sinful. And it's not glorifying to God. Remember what Paul told the Corinthians when he went there? "I didn't come with you with philosophy and fancy words. I came with you bearing one message, and it was Christ and Him crucified. It's not even my message. I'm a tool." Paul says, "In my weakness, He presented the gospel." In God, there's order. In God, there's unity. When you take that out, what happens? Disorder, disunity. Guys, even in the family, if God is at the center of it, they're going to be in unity. They're going to be one unit. You take God out of the mix, what happens to that family? It's chaos. You take a country who puts God at the center, it's going to be unified. It's going to be peaceful and orderly. You take God out of that, what happens to that nation? We're living that out right now. Chaos, judgment, and it comes from earthly wisdom. It's disorderly. He tells us there is disorder in every evil thing. Because that's exactly what that just says. Every evil thing. Every evil thing. Evil here means worthless, vile, good for nothing, no gain whatsoever. There is no spiritual gain or weight to this earthly foolish wisdom. It only produces evil, sinful ways. The thing here, the word thing, evil thing, is pragma in the Greek, where we get the word pragmatic, sensible. He is saying that it's producing nothing pragmatic, nothing at all. None of this is from God. It's prideful, It's demonic, sinful, earthly, and it leads to disorder and sin every single time. Who among you is wise? Who among you understands? Let him show. Guys, show it. This is a call to exhortation. This is a call to obedience. If you have divine wisdom, live it out. Grow in it every day. Manifest the wisdom God has given you by his grace every day. Through your actions, through your thoughts, your minds, as Romans tells us to present those to him. It's our only reasonable act of worship to him. But the worldly foolish wisdom is selfish, sinful, Satan-led, full of chaos and disillusion. Guys, this describes the majority of people in our world. They're on the wide road to destruction. And they're so, so fooled. They're deceived by the great deceiver, Satan. And he's using them as tools and puppets to get his agenda done. But those who are in Christ, those who have been saved out of this, guys, you see how this magnifies the grace of God? We once were here. We once had hearts filled with jealousy and selfish ambition. That was our habitual lifestyle. And look what he's called us out of. So we won't be hypocrites when we say, I'm of God. How do you know that? I'll show you. My obedience matches. As it's not from us, it's the Spirit of God working in our lives. But as next week we'll look at, this divine godly wisdom is pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, merciful, without hypocrisy, and is from God. You see the great opposites? It's not chaotic. It's pure. It's gentle. It has no hypocrisy and is from God. This person that this describes is grounded in Christ. He is a doer of the word, as James calls it. He is spirit-led, and he possesses the wisdom from God. Which do you possess? Which wisdom do you possess? Do you possess this worldly wisdom full of chaos and disorder and evilness, or wisdom from God, which shows in obedience? 1 John, he mentioned little children, young men, and fathers. Because that shows the growth of sanctification. Little children or baby Christians who need to grow. You have young men who start to dabble on meat, the solid doctrines, the theologies, the deep doctrines of Scripture. Then you have the fathers who are the wise men who not only know the doctrines but live them out. Because it's a scary time we live in. What an exciting time. The return of Christ is coming. We see that through the chaos and the sinfulness of this world. Because it's going to get harder and harder to be a Christian. The line is going to be clearer and clearer of those who are in Christ and those who are not. Those who with godly wisdom, those who are saved in Christ will persevere to the very end. They may fail. We do. We will persevere to the very end. Those in Christ will show Christ-likeness, a willingness and a love to submit to him. That's the one who possesses divine wisdom, who is not filled with pride, who is not Satan-led and natural and earthly, and who is not chaotic. But he's a firmly planted tree, sustained by streams of water, by God's grace alone, guys. There is no other way. And we will never live this out to our full, what we should. We'll always fall short. But by God's grace, he sustains us, he forgives us, and he gives us everything we need to live for him. Everything, including repentance when we fail. But the direction of your life will show what wisdom you hold, whether from God leading in obedience or earthly leading in foolishness. Lord willing, we'll expound more on the divine wisdom next week. The wisdom that which is from above. The wisdom which is from God. And that he freely, graciously gives to his children. What wisdom do you possess? Let's pray. Father, let's thank you for this morning. We thank you for this time that we can come to your word. Father, what a convicting passage. Father, even as your children, we still fail at this. Just David did, Father, but he is known by his repentance from it. Father, I pray that we would be filled and grown every day, filled with this divine wisdom, filled with your spirit, that we would live it out every day. Father, we know it's going to get worse and worse and worse, but your word is clear that those who you begun a work in, you will complete. Father, you've sealed us, you've promised us. Father, you've given us every good gift to live for you. Father, there's so many distractions and sinfulness, temptations that come from this world. Father, I pray that we would seek you in all of our hearts, that we would fear you, that we would seek you, that we would be gentle in humility, that we would obey you in all that we do. Father, we thank you, knowing that without your love, without Christ, we would still be filled with this evil heart. Father, we thank you even now as we close in song. I pray that it would be a fragrant aroma to you, acceptable to you. Father, we thank you for all that you've done. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.